And while you're turning to 1 John chapter 2, let me mention, if there's anyone thinking about considering membership at Madison Baptist Church, we do have what we call a new members orientation class that takes place about 5:10. It's after the 4 o'clock service and before the 6 o'clock service, but it meets in room 133 right across the hall in the auditorium. It is a 30-minute video presentation that lets you know what membership at Madison Baptist Church is all about. You get a free copy of the church constitution. In the video, we go through some of the main parts of that so you know how we operate. I also tell you about different ministries available to you at the church. So that's at about 5:10, right around in there, room 133. And that will be after the 4 o'clock service and before the 6 o'clock service, depending on which one you want to come to. All right, 1 John chapter 2 is where we're starting out with, and we're going to be turning over to Matthew chapter 4 in a moment. Notice in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, the scripture says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." I want you to notice that phrase. "And the world passeth away." Now go over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. This is during the Passion Week. This last week of Jesus' public ministry. He is teaching his disciples. And notice in verse 4, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet." I want you to notice the phrase, "For all these things must come to pass." Now, he tells us that the world passeth away. And he says of these things that are going to be taking place, they all must come to pass. And that's the title of the message, things that must come to pass. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I beg you again today for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Guide my thoughts. And Lord, I pray that you would use your word in power to every heart, whether they be in this auditorium are watching over the internet. I pray, dear God, the message would hit home, the reality of it, the truth of it. For any without Christ, that they would see their need, their clear need for the Son of God. And may they turn to Jesus and be saved. For believers, God, help us to make sure that we make our life count for you in this hour. For this hour is coming to pass, and we'll not have another time to be able to repeat it. So, Lord, do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You notice that Jesus said that there are some things that must come to pass. Now, right at that point, I could stop and give you a message on prophecy. And I'm not doing that with this message. I want us to think clearly about what's going on. When the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, and when he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, they tell us it was sometime between 90 and 100 A.D., and John would have been up in his 90s when he wrote those books under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He was the last of the disciples of Jesus to be alive. But he's been dead now for almost 2,000 years. He came to pass, just as he had seen the other disciples come to pass. He may not have witnessed their death, but he knew that they had all died. I'm reminded of a story I heard many years ago about an older Christian lady who was going through a time of great trial in her life. And she was asked the question, what was her famous promise in the Bible? And she said, it came to pass. It came to pass. It reminded her that that trial would come to pass. It reminded her that our trials are only temporary. You know that in Matthew through Acts, 65 times, you have a statement like, it came to pass. It came to pass. Literally hundreds of times in the Old Testament, it tells us certain events came to pass. Bible says, and the world passeth away. Now, because of this, we're told over and over again that we are to redeem the time. We are to number our days. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11, the scripture says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Well, for the last several months now, we have been bombarded with election advertisements. I mean, we've seen all kinds of things promised. We've seen all kinds of people run down. And a lot of people I know were thinking, boy, I can't wait till this is over. Well, as much as we had to live through that, as we do about every 2 years, had to live through those kind of advertisements, well, guess what? It came to pass. It came to pass. Everything comes to pass. We've been looking forward to that revival. I've been announcing it for many, many weeks about the revival with Brother Max Barton. And here we are on the Sunday afterwards. The revival came to pass. We're not meeting on Monday twice. We're not even meeting once on Monday or on Tuesday. You see, it came to pass. Last month came to pass. As a matter of fact, 2019, I couldn't believe when we were in 2019 that we were in 2019, but 2019 has come and gone. It came to pass, and hallelujah, 2020 is about to come to pass. Amen. Amen. We never foresaw anything like this, but it came, and it too will come to pass. Each year, some magazines put out a special edition. This year in review. And they talk about all the things that came to pass in that year. Believe it or not, the 20th century came to pass. We're 20 years into the 21st century. I don't know about you, but I can remember back in the 1970s, 1980s, thinking about how old I would be when we entered the new millennium. And now the new millennium is the old millennium. Because that millennium came to pass. That's 1,000 years, but it came to pass. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. I just want you to know, everything comes to pass that we have that is temporal around us. I have a lot of pictures of my family. I love my family. I love my daughters. I love my grandchildren. And I probably ought to say something about the sons-in-law. But I love them too, you know, all of that. But I love my wife. We've got a lot of pictures. Everybody, you got a lot of pictures, isn't that right? You got a lot of pictures in your family. Praise the Lord for that. And I love looking at the pictures. I especially love, Brother Weeks, I especially love the time when my kids were little. That's just special. I've got a lot of pictures of when they were little. To me, that was just the most amazing times in my life. I love looking at those pictures. But guess what? Every picture I have is something in the past. It's done. It's over. Matter of fact, I think you ought to be careful. For instance, when I go on vacations, I don't like taking a lot of pictures. I feel that some people take vacations just to take pictures. And they miss the experience of the vacation, trying to preserve a picture of where they were at when they were taking pictures. But all those pictures are of the past. Every picture is a reminder. We're not passing that way again. That came to pass. And it's amazing how much we save for it, how much we plan for it, how much we look forward to it. And let me show you these pictures. They've come to pass. Matter of fact, my wife's been going through really old pictures. Our wedding pictures, where it looks like I got married at the age of 12. I don't understand. When my dad was in high school, he looked like a man. He had a beard. He had everything. I mean, you could tell he had the shadow there. In high school, playing basketball. And when I got married at the age of 18... I look 12. She robbed the cradle. It's amazing. came to pass. I can remember looking forward to when we'd be married 50 years. Well, that's come to pass. It's just come to pass. And the world passeth away, the scripture says. As a matter of fact, my wife was looking at a number of pictures of her family, her dad, her mom, my parents. Man, their lives came to pass. They're all dead now. And guess what? I'm coming to pass. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. And I don't care if you wear a mask or not, you're still going to die. We all come to pass. This life here is only temporary. Now in the passage, Jesus is talking to his disciples about some things that were going to take place in the future. But he says these things must come to pass. Even as far away as some of these things would come to pass, the promise was they were still going to come to pass. You can count on that. So this morning, let's not be as concerned with the end times, but with the present times that are going to come to pass. Let me share something with you that ought to be somewhat of an encouragement, and that's this. Number one, troubles come to pass. Now, in the passage that we read in the book of Matthew, there are many troubles that are coming up before Jesus comes all the way back to the earth and sets up his kingdom. But those things are coming to pass. They will pass. Now, that also lets us know that our present troubles are coming to pass. Whatever those troubles are, pandemics come to pass. That's not the first pandemic the world's ever seen. And matter of fact, probably not near as bad as a number of pandemics that have already come and taken place. But thank the Lord, they all came to pass. Now Job said this in Job 14:1. He said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And then he says in verse 10, but man dieth and wasteth away, yet man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? For some reason, we seem to live in a generation that thinks we ought to be immune from trouble, and we're not. You live on planet Earth, you're going to have troubles. But take heart, those troubles are going to come to pass. That's the promise. You get that. Yeah, but I've had some major heartbreaks. Well, everybody does. And I'm not minimizing your heartbreak, but don't ever think that you're the only person going through it. Everybody goes through heartbreaks in their life, but thank God, they come to pass. You know, you look back in our nation's history, back in the 1860s, our country went through a civil war where Americans were fighting and killing Americans, and in some cases, it was brother against brother, and father against son. I mean, every day was a day of danger and quite often death. But hey, that's 170 years ago or 50 years ago now, and it came to pass. Now, as terrible as what that was for a country to go through, it came to pass. This country went through World War I. One of the blessings that we had had about and have had is that with all the world wars that have been fought, they haven't been fought on our soil. But that doesn't mean Americans haven't died in them. World War I, we cannot even come close to imagining the horror that these people went through in World War I. As a matter of fact, it was so bad and so many millions were killed that they called it the war to end all wars, and it didn't. But as horrible as it was, it came to pass. It's been over for over 100 years now. It came to pass. Can you imagine what people were going through then? What about World War II? And by the way, Europe was long into World War II before we ever got involved in it. And again, millions of people were killed. And it wasn't just the army men, the militaries that got killed. Civilians got killed by the thousands as Nazi Germany, socialist Germany, dropped their bombs on innocent people because socialists have no concern for other people's lives. I just thought I'd throw that in as a reminder for those who think that socialism somehow is good. This country went through that war, but it's been done now for a long time. It came to pass. The Vietnam War came to pass. In the 1990s, we had two Gulf Wars. They came to pass. We've been involved in a war on terror, and that too will come to pass. There have been deaths. There have been depressions. There have been wars. There have been accidents galore in so many different ways. Thousands upon thousands of dying accidents, and not just car accidents, every year. One thing you need to learn is that you will face trouble, and that trouble will come to pass one way or another. Now, I've talked about my grandfather. My grandfather died in 1959. He died, I think the date was June the 29th, 1959. I was almost 10 years of age. My grandfather was the favorite person in my life. I loved my grandpa. He loved me. My mom and dad, or my grandma and grandpa, had 11 children. My dad was the 11th of the 11 children. They had 7 boys and 4 girls. Out of those 7 boys, my dad was the only Allison grandson that had a boy. And I was it. Now, I don't know if you realize that or not. That made me special. I mean, man, they loved me. Every weekend, I was out at my grandpa's farm. And I was with my grandpa for just about everything that he did. I love my grandpa. When my grandpa died, it didn't just break my heart. I felt like at that time it pretty much ended my world. That was tough. Now, some of you have been in similar situations where you had some, and I understand that. I understand what you went through. But guess what? It came to pass. It's part of my life now, back there in the past. I can't go back and change any of it. You say, doesn't it still hurt? Yeah, especially since I know that my grandfather died without Christ. And there's not going to be another opportunity for him to escape the torments of the damned. He's going to be there forever. Yeah, that hurts. And I use it as an illustration in the message I preach, and is there a hell? But it came to pass. I remember when our house burned. I don't know what to say. It burned down or burned up. Something went up and the whole structure came down. That was in 1979 is when it happened, 1979. And we were living in Tennessee Ridge. It was a parsonage, so it wasn't my house. I guess that didn't matter. But nevertheless, for the next several months, I don't remember exactly how many months, we lived in a 10 by 35 trailer. Now, going from a 3-bedroom house to a 10 by 35 trailer made quite a difference. Now, since the fire had taken place while we were asleep, it started while we were asleep, and thank the Lord we got out. We get into the trailer, we immediately, first thing we did was put up fire detectors or smoke alarms. We made the mistake, though, of putting the smoke alarm up in the hall just outside the door of our bedroom, and right outside that, you see, was the furnace. And so that first night, we're laying in bed, and suddenly, Dean! Nobody ever got out of a place as fast as we got out of that place. I'll tell you what. Now, see, I can laugh about it now. It wasn't funny then. It came to pass. I just want you to know, troubles come to pass. Now, the reality is some people stay in trouble a lot longer than what they need to stay in trouble. They make bad decisions because, oh, they're hurt and it's tough. Well, listen, you're going to have troubles on this earth. It is promised. As long as you live on this earth, there are going to be troubles. It's not all heartache. It's not all woe. But those troubles do come to pass. And what's really sad is some people leave Christ out, so they have to go through those troubles without him. I tell you what, for the first 21 years of my life, I had to go through any troubles we went through without him. But thank God, after I got saved, it's a different matter going through those troubles with him. See, the rains fall on everybody. The storms come to everybody. The floods come to everybody. But thank God, in Christ, Earthly troubles. I just want you to get this. Earthly, whatever you're going through right now, earthly troubles come to pass. The world passeth away and the lust thereof. Jesus said there are certain things that must come to pass. He said, but preacher, they don't stop hurting. But they'll diminish over time. Live today, and you will find those things won't hurt quite as much tomorrow. But if all you do is sit and dwell on your hurts that everybody gets, then you will stay in a state of hurt until you come to pass. And you will come to pass. Now, because of that, because troubles come to pass, I want you to understand that earthly life itself shall come to pass. Life, I mean life as we know it, shall come to pass for the human race. Life as we know it will end. And by the way, whenever you get one of these kooks come on and they start talking about they know the rapture of the church is going to take place at a certain time, the newspapers out there will say, the end of the world is coming. Well, Christ coming back and the world ending are two totally different things. When Christ comes to catch his church away, I mean, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation following that. There's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ that's going to take place on the earth after that. We're a long way from the world ending. You understand that. But it will. It will end. It too will come to pass. But now for us who are saved, we're going out of here one of two ways. Either by rapture, being caught up to be with him, or by death. I have no promise from the Word of God that I'm going to be alive when Jesus catches the church away. I'd really rather just hear the sound come up hither and be gone. And I realize that could happen today. But if it doesn't happen, then I'm going to die. Because as it is appointed unto man once to die after this judgment. Now, either way I go out of here, he's got another body for me. This body, now, you see, he'll either change this body in the rapture, or he'll have another tabernacle for me according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And I could spend a whole message just dealing with that passage about him having another tabernacle for me to indwell if I were to die. To be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. The body will go to the grave, but I'm going up to glory. That's a promise. I got news for you. Although there are sometimes in the scripture that God refers to death as a sleep. That's from the body standpoint. It's not from yours. When Lazarus, the beggar, went on up to heaven, he could see everything and hear everything that was going on. He wasn't in the grave. His body was in the grave. He wasn't in the grave. He was with Abraham. Now get that. This is very important. But things will definitely change. Now for the lost, for anybody that's without Christ, you need to understand this. When you die, when your body dies, you will not cease to exist. You will not be burned up, annihilated, no more. Now, you'll be burning. But let me just show you. Turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 16. I can say this on the authority of Jesus Christ himself. Quite often I quote these, but I want you to go ahead and see them. Luke, chapter 16. He says in verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now notice this. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. So evidently, the rich man when he died and his body went into the grave, he woke up in hell, and in whatever he is in, he has eyes. He can see. Isn't that a frightening prospect? In hell, he lift up his eyes. Being in torment, he could feel. Being in torment. Now wait, he's not done. He seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have me. Oh, he could speak. So he could see. He could feel. He could speak. He says to him, he says, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. He could taste. And he says, for I am tormented in this flame. He's calling out for help. Notice the response from Abraham. It says, and Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. You see, people who are in heaven, even as much as they might want to help somebody in hell, they can't. They can't. If you die without Jesus Christ and go to hell, even though you may have had loved ones that were Christians and they may want to offer you something, they can't. They cannot get to you. You're stuck there. No, wait, he's not done. He says, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He said, not only can no one get to help you, but you can't get out. The Bible says in Revelation 14, 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. That's reality. Your body may be rotting in the grave, but you'll be burning in hell, and you'll not be able to escape. That's why the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Think about that. Absolutely nothing to look forward to. Every day the same, every night the same. No sleep. No going to McDonald's and getting fries. You're in hell. You're burning forever. And that is what you experience every day, every night, throughout all eternity. No escape. I've heard people say, well, preacher, don't you know hell's on this earth? And there's nothing like this on this earth. This is a totally different experience. At least you have hope of a better day tomorrow. And even if you've got some terminal illness, and your body's racked with pain, you know that there are some drugs that they'll give you to deaden the pain as much as possible. There's nothing to deaden the pain in hell. There is no hope of anything better. You say, oh, well, hey, if I got cancer, I would rather just go ahead and die. Like they think that would make them stop hurting. If they're without Jesus, that's the beginning of pain like they've never felt. And it's a never-ending pain throughout eternity. I'm just simply saying that when earthly life, when life passes you on this earth, all your value system, every day, all your activity is totally changed. You do not find the rich man in hell saying, how's my portfolio doing? How are my stocks? He doesn't ask Abraham the question, how's my house? He doesn't ask the question, do you think my clothes will bring any money at a yard sale? There's one thing he's concerned about, and that's torment. That's it. For any lost person that's listening to the sound of my voice right now, the fact that you're alive and listening, you're not in hell, and you can make a decision right now. But the Bible says, as it is appointed unto man, once to die after this judgment. And you know, most people die when they're not expecting to die. You think about those people that went out in 9/11 just from the Twin Towers. None of those people went to work that day expecting to die. None of them. And there are people that die every day just exactly like that. But for the saved, it's different. It's heaven. It's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. No more sickness, no more suffering, no more sin. Hallelujah, no crime. It'll be wonderful. That's not going to happen through any of the political parties on this earth. That happens because Jesus Christ has purchased us and set us free, and we get to live with him throughout eternity. That's marvelous. Troubles shall pass. Earthly life shall pass. Therefore, our present value system ought to pass away. He says, For this world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Money will not be important. Money will not be important. Do you realize that gold that is so important right now, that gold will just be what the streets are made out of, pavement in heaven? Now we look at it and we say, my, pure gold, that's awful powerful. Yeah, but it's just pavement. In glory, you understand that? Now, I know a lot of people think that gold changes its value. Do you realize that gold does not change its value? Money changes value. When you hear that gold has gone from $900 to $1,200, you say, wow! Look at all the money I made. No, you didn't make. You lost any dollars that you had. Because gold is a constant. It's the dollars that are different. They go up and down. Oh, you mean I'm not getting richer? No, unfortunately, you're not getting richer. See, that's earthly things. In heaven, people don't even worry about that stuff. It's not important. Not important at all. You know, the rich man, all he wanted to know is, can I get some water? You know, when the Titanic went down, some of the survivors, when they went back to their stateroom before they got in the boats, they allowed their jewelry that was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to stay on the ship. The one thing they wanted to get was fruit or food that they had back in their own, and stuff that would have been cheap, because they realized life was more important. What good's money in hell? Jesus said in Luke 9:25, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world? Gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away. I look at Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We find Solomon going over a list of all the things that he had done, all the buildings he had built, all the magnificent structures that he had around him that he had had a part in. And he says, whatever his heart desired, that he got. And he finally says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had made. And he says, behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He's basically crying out, I have wasted my life. See, he was getting ready to die, and his value system suddenly changed. Because this world passeth away. Because these things are passing away, we should turn our attention to the things that don't pass away. Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Bible says, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Psalm 119:160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. We hang on the words of the politicians. You ought to hang on the word of God. His word is right. His word tells us of things that are eternal. A man's soul, heaven or hell, it's the one thing that you have that will last eternally somewhere. Eternal punishment for the lost. Eternal life for the saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 6:23, when he says the wages of sin is death, he goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's powerful. And the things that you do for Christ are what count. The scripture says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss, though he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. What counts in heaven? What have you done for Christ? What have you done for Christ? It is not the person with the most toys when he dies wins. What have you done for Christ? So let's turn our eyes and our hearts on the things that are eternal. The things that matter to God, the things that we're supposed to be concerned about. In Matthew chapter 6, he tells us about the things of mammon, or the things of this world that are going to pass away, and the things of God. And we're so concerned about all these things that are passing away. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And all these things will be added unto you. He says, you'll have what you need on this earth. But you need to understand that it's a life for Christ that counts the most. It's eternal. So live for Him. One of our assistant pastors from many years ago, Pastor Russell Davis, he was assistant pastor when I came here as pastor. When I first came as pastor on the first or second day, Brother Davis came into my office and he handed me an envelope. And he said to me, he says, you know, I believe every pastor ought to be able to pick his own staff. So I want to make this easy for you. I'm resigning. And I said to him, I said, Pastor Davis, if I was really a stupid guy, I'd take that. I says, I want you on my staff. Now, Pastor Davis had been a senior pastor for a number of years at church. As a matter of fact, he was Brother Tony Stark's pastor when Tony was a young man. And when he reached 70, he retired from pastoring full-time, and he went down to Florida where he did a lot of interim work at churches that needed pastors and so on. He still preached out, but he was no longer a full-time pastor. Well, Brother Tony had started Madison Baptist Church, and he wanted to get a Bible Institute going. And so he called up Pastor Davis, and he said, Brother Davis, would you come and start a Bible Institute in our church? Well, Pastor Davis prayed about it, and he came, and he began Madison Bible Institute. Matter of fact, we've got some people that are seated here this morning who took classes under Pastor Davis in the Institute. And he trained our people. And by the way, all of the people who teach in the Institute are people who graduated from the Institute. So what a legacy. But Pastor Davis told me, I'd been pastor here about 9, 10 years. And he came to me, he said, you know, brother, I guess maybe it'd been about 8 years. But he said to me, the last 10 years here of my life have been the most fruitful of my entire ministry. I believe one of the reasons why Madison Baptist Church has been such a strong church is because of Madison Bible Institute. You see, he took those last years of his life and he used them for the glory of God. For those who knew him, you still think about him a lot, I'm sure. Matter of fact, it was always so special to me. I'd be sitting in my office in the morning after our 6:30 prayer time, and then a little bit later, he'd be coming into the office, Brother Nelson, and he'd say, let me show you what I read in the Scripture today. And it was as new to him every day as the Scripture is to people who love his Word. Here, this guy had preached from it for years, and it was still just right there. What an encouragement that was to my heart, just to be with him like that. But he decided to make it count till you go home. He did that. Why? Because this earth is passing away fast enough. You know, God may change what you're able to do or what he'd have you to do, but what he would always have you to do is be faithful to him. You see, this world is passing away. Mike Allison's going to die. I don't know when. Might be today, might be this week, it might be next month. It might be 10 years from now. I can't imagine going that much longer, but if I do, hey, I want to be faithful, though, and use it to the end. Child of God, there's more to do now than ever before for the Church of Jesus Christ. There are more people on planet Earth right now than there has ever been in the history of the world. And most of those people are lost without Christ. There's more people to reach than ever before. Now is not the time for us to sit back and take ease in Zion. Now's the time for us to be busy in serving our dear Savior. It must come to pass. But until it does, I want to be faithful serving Him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Dear God, deal with our hearts today. If there's one here without Christ, or one watching over the internet right now without Christ, I pray, dear God, they'd respond to this invitation. For those in the auditorium, that they would come so we could have one of our people take the Word of God and show them how to be saved. And for those that are watching over the internet right now, that God, they might call us at Madison Baptist Church at 256-830-6224. So one of our staff members could take them through the gospel of Christ and show them how to be saved. Dear God, I pray for believers Oh, Lord God, please, may we surrender to you. May we make this time count in reaching others with the gospel and being faithful in service to you. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in our hearts today, for we ask it all in Jesus' name.